Well, what'll it cost me? What is it going to cost me? A thought that runs through our heads probably all the time, and even more so in the Ballymena area. And recently, my fiancée Victoria and I have just bought a wee house up in East Belfast, and we've spent the last several months decorating it and getting it ready to move into once we're married. But what will it cost me? That's a thought that occurred to me quite a bit while we were getting the house decorated. Well, first, there's the paint. But it's not just any paint. It has to be silk finish, velvet red feature wall paint. And then, of course, there's the brushes. But it can't just be any brushes. Because it's silk paint, we'll have to buy the special silk paint brushes. And then what about the rollers? Well, because it's silk finish paint, you have to buy the more expensive silk paint finish rollers. And then the paint trays, and the dust sheets, and the white spirits, and the carpet cleaner for when I drop the paint. What'll it cost me? And then on to the furniture. What sort of furniture? How much furniture? What type of wood? Oak or pine? What'll it cost me? But these thoughts just don't come when you're buying a house or decorating a house. They can come all the time. Maybe for the women, it's when you're at the supermarket. Do you just walk around chucking stuff in the trolley? Or do you try to roughly work out how much is in the trolley and what it's going to cost by the time you've got to the till so you don't have any nasty surprises? Or maybe it's men. Maybe men, when you're filling up the car, do you go to the pump, pick it up, stick it in the tank and just squeeze until it clicks and that's you done? Or do you try to work out how much it's going to cost you? Do you stick the nozzle in going, okay, well, I have a quarter of a tank. It's a 50-gallon tank. It's currently 1/12 a litre. I think that should cost me about 45 quid. But we all do it. And we all do it with the things we buy. But I wonder, do we ever stop and think, what is the cost of following Jesus? I wonder this evening, have you ever weighed that up? And in this evening's passage, we see three men who hadn't weighed that decision up properly. We first meet these men when Jesus and the disciples are on their way from Galilee to Jerusalem. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross for each and every one of us. But Jesus and the disciples had just come from a Samaritan village where Jesus wanted to teach the people. But the people in that village had rejected Jesus and his message. So here we meet them as they're walking up the road, and we meet the first person in our passage. See, he had never thought about his comfort. And tonight I want to ask you, are you too comfortable to follow Jesus? A man. That's all Luke tells us about him in verse 57. As they're walking along the road, a man said to them. But in Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, we're told that this man was a scribe. And the scribes in ancient Israel were learned men. And their business was to study the law, to transcribe it, and to write commentaries on it. The scribes took their job of preserving scripture very seriously. They would copy and recopy the Bible extremely meticulously. They would even count the letters and the spaces to ensure each copy was correct. The scribes had a whole list of rules and regulations, even for just writing the scriptures. when they came to the word Lord. The scribes would have left, washed themselves from head to toe, put on clean clothes, went back, picked up a different pen than they were using before, wrote the word Lord, set the pen down, went away, had another wash, and put on new clothes to continue. That's how seriously they took their job of copying Scripture. But the scribes also went beyond the interpretation of Scripture. And they added many, many man-made traditions to what God had said. The scribes had become professionals at spelling out the letter of the law while they were ignoring the Spirit of God that had inspired it. And things with the scribes had become so bad that the regulations and traditions the scribes had added to the law were actually considered more important than the law itself. The scribes were highly thought of in Jewish society, and they were well looked after. The scribes were accustomed to a quiet and easy life. And according to some commentators, they even say that the scribes lived in the lap of luxury. And here we meet this scribe who comes to Jesus and seemingly out of the blue blurts out, "I will follow you wherever you go." Maybe he was awestruck by Jesus. This scribe would have heard the teaching of Jesus, would have seen him perform miracles, observed Jesus healing people with various illnesses and casting out demons. Maybe this scribe was just caught up in the moment of it all. But imagine you were to meet someone that you really admire or someone that you think highly of. How would you react? What would you say? How would you even go about starting a conversation with them? Maybe like me, you just turn into a babbling idiot and spit out some random fact. And we get awestruck with people. And this scribe was no different. He said something of great importance without thinking it through. He said he would go anywhere with Jesus, but he didn't count the cost. Jesus responds to him with the statement in verse 58, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus is challenging this man to count the cost of his outburst. Jesus is telling the scribe that he would have to give up the lifestyle that he was used to. And Jesus rips away the scribe's romantic notion of what it really means to follow Jesus. And sometimes we can have a romantic notion of what it means to follow Jesus. Sometimes we think that if we follow Jesus, everything will be great, that life will be rosy, that there will be no hard times. But Jesus says that to follow him means that there could be no place to lay his head. For this scribe to follow Jesus, it meant that he would be sleeping rough. He wouldn't be able to live in his life of comfort. Jesus was trying to help this man to count the cost of following him. And following Jesus will often place you in uncomfortable positions. Maybe at work in the lunchroom when a certain topic is being discussed. Maybe the discussion on gay marriage, the discussion on abortion, or various other things. Are you willing to step out and step up to share your beliefs? Are you still willing to follow Jesus even when it gets uncomfortable? If you were asked to follow Jesus and give up your nice warm house, your comfortable memory foam orthopedic king-size bed to rough it on the cold streets to be ignored by the masses, would you still do it? Or is your comfort too important? Would it cost you too much to be uncomfortable? Then along comes our second person. We're told even less about him, but he had never weighed up the convenience of following Jesus. Maybe for you it's too inconvenient to follow Jesus. You see, Jesus turns to this second man and he says, "Follow me." But this man, instead of doing what Jesus asks him to do, makes excuses. Sometimes all of us, and women will say that men are generally worse at this, make excuses for not doing what we're asked. But this man comes up with what seems like a pretty reasonable request. He says, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." To us, this may seem quite reasonable, to bury a deceased parent. It's an important duty and it falls within honoring your mother and father. But this man's excuse is in the statement, "Let me." This was a way to say, "My father is elderly. Let me be a good son and live with him until he has died and until he has been buried and all of my family's business has been set in order. Once that is done, then I will come and follow you." But the problem was that this man's first response was not to immediately follow Jesus. He makes excuses for not following Jesus. Are you making excuses for not following Jesus? Maybe you've heard God calling you. Maybe you've felt his guiding in your life, but you think that it's too inconvenient for you to follow him right now. Maybe you want to get married first. Maybe you want to have a family first. Maybe you want to get that promotion. Or maybe it's X, Y, or Z. But the one willing to follow Jesus doesn't make excuses and say, "Tomorrow I have to do this and that. I'm free for a wee while in the afternoon so I can follow you then." If you're a follower of Jesus, you go where he goes. This man wanted to be a convenient follower. Are you only a convenient follower? Do you only follow when it suits you? Do you only follow when it's convenient and when it fits around your busy, hectic life? Jesus responds to the man, and his response seems harsh and abrupt. And in verse 60, he says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." But that begs a question: how can the dead bury the dead? Jesus here isn't talking about physical death. He's not talking about when our bodies stop and our organs cease to function. But he is talking also about a spiritual death. A spiritual death means that you will face a lost eternity. You will face the separation from God because of your sin. And unless you repent, you are already spiritually dead. Jesus is saying that in following him, he must be of first importance over anything else in our lives. This doesn't mean that we don't care about our families, but we must be obedient to God before caring for our families. As followers of God, we have to obey him in all that we do. Because Jesus does not call us to a life of convenience. He calls believers to a life of sharing the gospel throughout the world. This will mean giving up the money that we may have needed for something else. Time, when we think we could be doing something important. But there is nothing, nothing more important than following Jesus and serving the holy God who sent his only Son to die on the cross for your sin. We meet the third and final person in our passage. Clearly, like the other two, he had never thought about the decisions he would have to make to follow Jesus. And he says in verse 61, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." The third and final man in this passage, and yet again, we see another excuse to not follow Jesus. Why is this man so concerned with saying goodbye to his friends and his family? It's all because his heart was in the wrong place. You see, he was looking at the idea of following Jesus as a miserable and dangerous thing to do. He thought he had to say goodbye to his family because he was convinced that following Jesus was going to get him killed and he would never see them again. He was more concerned with his worldly concerns than what Jesus was calling him to do. He wanted to keep his options open, and he wanted to be where he was interested. He was still attached to this world and all of his concerns, and he valued them more than the call of Jesus to follow him. Maybe that's like you. Maybe you've heard Jesus saying, "Follow me," but you won't let go of this world. Maybe you won't let go of something that you're tied up in, or some lifestyle habit that you have that you won't let go of. Maybe you don't want to follow God. Maybe on one hand you say, "I will follow you, Lord, but I'll follow you from a distance. I'll follow you from wherever I feel comfortable. I haven't really thought this through." Maybe like this man, he clearly liked Jesus. He knew Jesus would be a good master. But he liked his family too. Are you like that man? Do you value the things of this world and the people in your life more than you value God? Maybe you're easily distracted. And as a child, I used to hate this time of year. End of July, start of August. I hated it. Why? Because I knew that my school report would soon be arriving at the door. And before it was even opened, I knew what it said. Because every year from P1 until I finished high school, my school report read the exact same thing. Matthew has great potential, but he does not reach it because he is easily distracted. And maybe this man was the sort of person, and I'm sure you know a few, who seem really interested in something for a few weeks, and once the newness and excitement dies off, well, they gradually, slowly, over time, disappear and move on to a different new project that interests them for a few more weeks until they find something else. But we need to be focused and committed to Jesus if we are to be his followers. Maybe tonight you're here and you've never come to follow Jesus. Then I urge you to listen to the voice of Jesus saying, "Follow me." Jesus warns us what will happen if we are not focused on following him in verse 62. Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, living in Belfast until I was 11, I didn't grow up learning anything about farms. I'm a bit of a city boy. Moved to Donegal for a while and learned about a few wee ideas, like tractors and fields. But I couldn't really tell you a whole lot about animals or farms or wheat or grain, any of the stuff that people around here kind of talk about. But what I do know, I know a little bit about ploughing. And apparently when you plough, you have to get the furrows as straight as possible. And to plough well, you have to pick a point directly in front of you. You drive towards it, never taking your eyes off that point, because if you take your eyes from that point, you will leave the field in a mess and with furrows that are good for nothing. As I've said, I'm no farmer. But what I do know is that ploughing happens so that the field will be much more productive for the farmer when the seed is planted. Ploughing happens to aid planting. When Jesus talks about the ploughing here, he's not talking about actual ploughing. Not talking about fields and grain. But Jesus is talking about making people's lives ready for the spiritual seed that his followers will plant in the lives of people they witness to and speak to about him. Jesus says that we are to only focus on him and he will give us the right direction to go in. If we look back to the things that we left behind to follow him, then we will end up in a mess. We will be distracted. And we must not let ourselves be distracted by the worries and the cares of this world. We must look only to Jesus, because following Jesus is a lifelong commitment. We must not let our comforts, conveniences, or our decisions distract us from following him. Jesus tells us what will happen if we do. Jesus says, if you're one of his followers and you look back to the life you left behind, then you are not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus has a whole new path mapped out for his followers. You need to follow him closely to be on that path. You need to pray to him. You need to read your word. You need to discern where God wants you to be. Comfort, convenience, and your life choices will always get in your way of following Jesus. Only Jesus has the best plan for your life, and only Jesus knows best how you can help and serve others. Let me ask you this evening, are you a follower of Jesus? If not, then tonight I plead with you. I plead with you to come before a holy, perfect, and sinless God. I plead with you to come and repent and confess your sin before him. And I encourage you to live in a way that pleases him, following him closely. Maybe tonight, if you are a follower of Jesus and you're more concerned about your own comfort and about the souls of those who don't know Jesus, are you too inconvenienced by Jesus and the gospel to share his message? Or are you too easily distracted by things of this world to focus on him and his will for your life? This evening, I have to say that following Jesus is not a promise of a life of comfort and convenience. But the decision to follow Jesus leads to a life everlasting. Let's pray.